You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Every day it starts all over again. New mercy with the dawn. His faithfulness goes on, and gone is all the guilt, the worry of sin. It's all been washed away. Every day starts all over again.
Here's today's message with Dr. Daryl Orman.
If I could have your attention. On visitation a couple of weeks ago, we visited this family from the school, and it was our privilege to share Christ there. And we had Dylan and Dakota and Jackie, the mom, all make a commitment of their life to Christ, give their life to the Lord. Dylan, are you going to live for Jesus the rest of your life?
Yes.
Have you asked him to come into your heart as your Savior? Yes. Look right out here. How many of you will make a commitment to pray for Dylan Pacificy? Would you raise your hand and say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Dylan, my brother, upon your profession of faith and in obedience to the Lord's command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, and raised to walk in a spirit-filled life. See y'all soon. Thank you. And this, stand right over here. This is Dakota. Dakota, have you given your heart and life to Christ?
Yes.
Are you going to live for Jesus the rest of your life?
Yes.
Amen. Look right out here. How many of you make a commitment to pray for Dakota? Would you raise your hand and say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Dakota, my sister, upon your profession of faith and in obedience to the Lord's command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bearing the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the spirit of life. Thank y'all. God bless. You can go. You're welcome. Obviously, she said, and it is a little tepid today, a little bit cool. We've had the heat on, but probably not quite long enough. There's still room for more, and so let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today and thank you for these two children that have given their hearts and lives to you. We ask you to anoint them, fill them with your spirit, and live through them. And dear God, we just pray that you'd pour your spirit out upon us today. And Lord, across our nation, Almighty God, we ask you, please, if you would, to stem the tide of the killing of the infants. We pray, Lord, that you would stop abortion, empower this Supreme Court to overrule this wicked law. And we pray, dear God, that you would just move in a supernatural way. We know that you hate the death of the innocent. And so we lift this day up to you for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd also like to bring you up to date. This week we had several thousand dollars more donated toward our project. We still are in need of three more six-figure gifts. So if God's blessed you in a great, great way and you're so disposed and he's speaking to your heart, we'd love for you to help us. That would take us right into our closing with comfort at this point. So if you would pray for that for us. And we're excited about what God's doing, how he's opening doors. I opened the mail the other day and we had a $12,000 grant sent and another $1,500 grant sent and some neat things. And the gold and silver you've donated has netted about $5,000, and it could wind up being around seven. And we've got one of our listeners from Jupiter. His wife went to be with the Lord 3 years ago, and he brought up her jewelry box, and it had in it a Geneva woman's watch that's worth about probably $2,000 to $3,000. And took it to a watch. It wasn't running. Took it to a watchman, and he said, "I'll fix this for the church, no charge." And so we'll have that available soon, you know. And we're grateful for what God's doing and what you're doing. Thank you for your generosity. God bless. Sue, come on up. Sue Chess, a dear friend of our family and our ministry, the director of CareNet and our Crisis Pregnancy Center. And we love her and appreciate her. She's going to come and share and show us a video. Good to have you with us, Sue.
Wow, it's a blessing to be here. I've been doing this for about almost 20 years this year. And you know, this is one of my favorite places to come. I just really love and appreciate this congregation and their unashamed, just vocal support of the sanctity of human life. What a joy to be here today. A pastor recently said that there are three high kingdom principles declared during creation. And those three things are redemption, marriage, and the sanctity of human life. Well, as most of you know, CareNet ministers heavily in all three of those areas, most especially on the sanctity of human life. We're so thankful for the partnership of First Baptist of Stewart. You guys get it, and we're really, really grateful for who you are and all that you do to demonstrate your support of the sanctity of human life. I'm the executive director of CareNet of the Treasure Coast, and it has been my joy to serve alongside 11 other staff who are so phenomenal and so dedicated to the cause. We also have 85 volunteers from 27 different churches. Now, isn't that just give God a hand? I'm so grateful to see when God's body comes together and serves along one side of one another that way. Our mission, as you can imagine, is both joyful and heartbreaking. We love what we do. It's not an easy thing that we do, but there is so much joy in it when you see God move. It's like you're getting to watch behind the curtain as God works and moves in people's lives. It's amazing to do. For many, 2021 is going to stand as the year of COVID, isn't it? But I'll tell you, for us at CareNet, 2021 is going to be the year that we remember that we opened our third location on the Treasure Coast in Darwin Plaza, out west of Port St. Lucie. And we have two other locations, one in Stewart, right down across from the old-fashioned McDonald's, and next to the post office, and the other one is on US 1 in Port St. Lucie. We offer free pregnancy and ultrasound tests, as well as HIV and STI testing. We provide parenting, mentoring, and discipleship class. We minister to students. We challenge them to make healthy choices for their lifestyles. And we also do abortion recovery ministry. So there's a lot that God accomplishes through the ministry that your church is helping to support. Even with all of life's challenges, we have managed to serve over 3,000 people in 2021. And we've seen increases even in the area of abortion saves. Last year, we had the highest number ever in the history of our ministry. 143 babies were saved from abortion last year, just in our pregnancy ministry. We had 25 came to Jesus Christ. Don't you know? That's one of the main things that we want to do, is share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when they pray to receive Christ, we try to connect them with a local church. We try to get them plugged into ministry that will disciple them, because we know that that's the job of God's church, is to disciple. We challenged 1,117 students to make good, healthy choices in lives of purity. And we also had 559 attended our parenting classes, and 93 came to our abortion recovery classes. You are probably aware that abortion is changing in our land. While Roe v. Wade may tumble, won't we give God a praise when that happens? There is another area that the enemy is fighting more than ever. Many people are unaware of the fact that 44% of abortions that we know of are being done by medical abortion or chemical abortion. And they literally deliver through this chemical abortion, they have this baby sometimes turning their own bathroom into an abortion clinic. So we know that that is extremely harmful and painful for a mother to see. It's not something that the abortion marketer adequately prepared her for when he wrote an advertisement that said, "In the safety of your own home, let us take care of your little problem." The reality is far more painful and sad when the woman goes through that. But this change is necessitating pregnancy help centers to step up and offer free ultrasound immediately and without delay. For years, our practice at CareNet has been that we have her come in for the pregnancy test, then we have her return on a Monday, Tuesday, or Thursday night to provide her with a free ultrasound. But what we're finding out is that we're losing the girls when that happens. They have already taken care of their problem when we wait that long. We need to provide her with an ultrasound immediately, which is why you see the employment opportunity that your church was so gracious to put in their bulletin this week, saying that we are looking to hire a registered nurse full time at CareNet, and then we will train her to provide ultrasound immediately for a girl who is seeking an abortion. It's just no longer a viable option to have her come back later for an ultrasound. We need to step up immediately, and I'm so thankful for our board who says, yes, let's do this. Let's watch God make this happen. This will give us an opportunity without delay to explain the dangers of an ectopic pregnancy or in taking the abortion pill when you're too far along in your pregnancy to do it safely. We want those opportunities to talk with her. So will you pray for us as we search for this licensed person to step into this position at CareNet? Folks, one person can make a difference. And I'll tell you this, all of us should be trying. We should be doing something to make a difference in this area. Would you take out your bulletin and look at the beautiful face of this little baby? Somebody stepped up. Somebody stepped out and said, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to volunteer. I'm going to get involved in CareNet so that I can make a difference. And this little boy is alive today because CareNet was there. His mother came to our center. She chose life. She started taking parenting classes with a mommy mentor, and her mommy mentor even baptized her in the pool at her house. She has changed the outcome of this, not only this child's life, but this mother's life, because of her investment in doing something. Everything that we do that brings about a victory is a victory that you share when you support this ministry, and this church does, so you are doing that. The back of the bulletin insert will tell you how you can get involved, how you can reach our team, how you can sign up to come to our volunteer training that's happening in March. You can even use the QR code to give to the ministry now or give to this wonderful church who will pass the money on to us. We appreciate First Baptist Stewart so very, very much. In closing, I believe there's a video that your church is going to show from us.
Created for purpose, a unique genetic blueprint from the moment of conception. DNA woven together to determine gender, eye color, hair color, fearfully and wonderfully made. Valued beyond measure. Our culture says life is disposable. Her rights matter most. It's not really a baby. And it's all one big choice. But God created us in His own image and whispered, I have called you by name. You are mine. In the United States, abortion is legal throughout the entire pregnancy, totally unrestricted. Most recently, abortion has been boxed up in the form of two little pills and a promise to make it all go away. What will you do to make a difference for life? How can you be a voice? Will you help save a life? There are over 2,700 pregnancy centers in the United States, serving men and women free of charge and full of hope, providing pregnancy tests, life-affirming counsel, abortion recovery, classes, clothing, and diapers. Many centers offer the first glimpse of a woman's baby in the womb, displaying the magnificence of creation and the precious beats of a tiny heart, perfectly formed and fashioned by the one who created them. They serve faithfully, love well, encourage. They are hope dealers. They need volunteers, your prayers, and your financial support. Will you please give generously and help make a difference for life today?
Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to dismiss our Children for Children's Church with Miss Julia. Praise the Lord for her, her love for our kids and the Lord. And if y'all just make your way out to the side here. Very good. Well, it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, probably about 3 weeks ago, I was getting anxious about our project and the fundraising and the other things. And it's funny, the Lord just supernaturally spoke to me, and I got in the car, and that song was on the radio. The first thing I heard when I turned my car on, everything's going to be all right. He's got the whole world in his hands. And then I got to church, I opened the envelope, and we had that $12,000 grant, and I said, that's good, thank you, Jesus. And so then, the next morning, I went hunting over near the lake, and when I got done, I got in the car and turned the radio on, exact same thing. In fact, it seems like every time I turn the car on, the radio is on that song, and I just sensed the Lord's presence fill the car, and him saying, I've got this. And then one of our dear sweet members came up to the podium a little over a week ago and said, Pastor, can I speak to you? And she came up and she refers to her relationship as with God as talking to the Holy Spirit. Said, Holy Spirit and I talk to each other every day, and I talk to him, he talks to me. And this week when I was talking to him, he told me to tell you that he's got this, that you'll have everything you need at closing. In fact, there'll be $10 million. And I said, oh my gosh, I received that from you. Praise the Lord. Can I hear an amen? And a little bit better, amen? Amen. And so it's just neat how God provides, how he speaks to our heart. And when we obey him and do what he wants us to do. And one of my wonderful spiritual fathers, Dr. Bobby Moore, Memphis, Tennessee, he used to say all the time, God's calling is God's provision. What he calls us to do, he pays for. And so we're excited about to see what he's going to do and how he's going to do it, and we praise the Lord for it. As you know, this month every year, a couple of Sundays are set apart for the pro-life observation and emphasis. I recognize that. I have my entire ministry life, the importance of this day, and to represent and to speak out. And we are at a stage now in our nation that the abortion clinics are on the retreat. There's some states now that don't even have one. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. And as liberal and socialistic as our youngest generations are, we're told they're very pro-life, and they really have a strong conviction about abortion. And so there's some neat things going on. Our Supreme Court justices and Donald Trump's 3 conservative appointments, all pro-life, and now we have a supermajority of pro-life judges sitting on the bench. And some neat things in relationship to that. If you've got your Bible, turn with you to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, 13 through 16. And here we see the psalmist David talking about God's work in our conception, our development, each of us as we were in our mother's womb, as we were developing. And here's what he says. Talking to God, for thou did form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made or wrought. Wonderful are thy words, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. So we see here this reference to us, literally every one of us in utero when we were in our mother's womb, and God's observation of us, God looking at us, God observing us supernaturally, in the entire developmental process. And so there's several things I'd like for us to pull out and think about in relationship to this as we think about where we are today as a society and as a world, and basically what the Bible says in relationship to life. Animal life in general, and then human life specifically. First of all, we see that the terminology that he says when he says we're wonderfully and skillfully made is embroidery. It's the idea of being sewn together, of being knitted together, and of God with specificity dealing with us as we are formed and making us. Now, when we look at the scriptures in relationship to animal life and human life specifically, human life is distinct from animal life. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, we see a prophecy of the worldviews that will dominate in the last days and in these days. It's views that have come up in human society. In Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 21, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." Now, you think about evolution. Everything came from nothing. Impossible. Impossible. And scientists now for decades, almost a century, some of the most brilliant in laboratories trying to create life to prove that intelligent design did not create life. It is the most ridiculous thing on the face, on the surface, that you can think of. It's ridiculous. And now the scientific community is saying, at least those who claim to be scientific, that there are more than two sexes. My gosh, the animals know better than that. It's ridiculous. Now, I've had a little fun with it. When I've been at coffee shops and the men's room is occupied, I've gone into the women's if it was open. And when I've come out, I've had some people look at me and I've said, "Well, today I'm designating as a woman." But for people to say they're scientific and to believe in more than two sexes is absolutely absurd. Can you say that with me? Absurd? Absurd. It's absurd and not scientific. And then it goes on and on from there. And so he's saying they proclaimed to be wise, but they became fools, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And then he says, "And exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures." Exchanged the worship of God to worship animals. There was a billboard for years in Fort Pierce that PETA had put up. They had erected it, and it said, "Jesus was a vegetarian." And well, I've seen the bumper stickers. I've tried to find one to get one that says, "If God didn't intend for us to eat meat, why did he make animals out of it?" And PETA is actually people eating tasty animals, okay? So we look in Scripture and we look at this, and God says, we're not to worship animals. He put them here to serve with us as beasts of burden. He put them here for us to eat them. They're a source of food. And we see that the scriptures talk about that. First of all, animals were also intended for the atonement. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, after the fall of Adam and Eve, we see that God himself came down and made the first animal sacrifice as an atonement. Verse 21 of chapter 3. "And the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them with the animals that he killed." And then in chapter 4, verse 4, we see as he taught the people of the earth at that time. And Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. God was pleased with it as he offered up his animals as a sacrifice and atonement for God. And then for the food, the aspects of food, in John, we see a reference in Scripture, in actually Acts chapter 9, verse 16. In John 21, we see Jesus eating fish. And he actually showed them where to catch them, and then he helped prepare them and eat them with them. And anything that has a face is not a vegetable. Can I hear an amen? So if you're eating fish, you're not a vegetarian. I'm sorry. Just ask the fish. I've started taking pictures of fish when I catch them where I turn their body in kind of an L shape and their face toward the camera. And it's amazing. They have different personalities. Most of them are saying, please don't fillet me. But, you know, I'm not listening to them. I'm ignoring them. But we see here in Scripture this aspect with Jesus. And then we see in Acts chapter 10 a vision that God gave. Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 9. And on the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. Peter fell into a trance. And he beheld the sky opening up and a certain object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the earth. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals, crawling creatures of the earth, birds of the air. And a voice came to him from heaven, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I've never eaten anything unholy and unclean." And again a voice came to him a second time, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." And this happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. So God gave Peter a vision from heaven, emphasized to him three times that to kill and eat, and to eat animals. And in this case, even some that were considered at that time ceremonially unclean. And then we see also for defense, we are to kill animals for defense. In 1 Samuel 17, we see that with David in verses 34 through 37. And David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God." So here we see these references in relationship to animals. Animals are not to be worshipped. We're to be kind to them. In fact, that's in Proverbs, that is the indication of a godly person. They're kind to their animals. But it also means as we have dominion over the earth, we're to eat them. And I enjoy that personally a lot myself, especially the baby back animals. I love those. So we see this reference in relationship to animal life. And then God says that we're to honor human beings as being fearfully made. We're made in the image of God, the Imago Dei in Latin and in theology, that we're in the image. You can think of the Sistine Chapel where God's finger is touching Adam's finger. And this aspect that we are made in his image. Every human being, almost 8 billion of us on the face of the earth, we're all in the image of God. And that's whether we're born or unborn. Being in your mother's womb is no different than being outside your mother's womb. There's not a human being I'm talking to right now here, YouTube, Facebook, radio, wherever, that was not at one point in utero in our mother's womb. And so we see this reference, this aspect that we're made in the image of God. And then also that the scriptures tell us that this is a reason that murder is far more serious a matter in the Judeo-Christian, the biblically influenced societies and nations of the world. Because the Bible says that, thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not take innocent life. God hates it. He despises it. In fact, he likened Satan to it. He said Satan was a murderer, a liar, and a thief from the beginning. And so there's the realm of darkness and the realm of light. There's the realm of righteousness with God Almighty, and there's the realm of wickedness with Lucifer, with Satan. And murder dominates that kingdom. It's interesting to me in our society today, the hypocrisy, the lies, the propaganda that we're being fed and told. Now, I grew up in a Democrat home. My dad was a union contractor. My mother and dad loved John F. Kennedy. We cried as a family when he was assassinated. But it's interesting that with Lyndon Baines Johnson, he took credit for what his Republican Congress did with civil rights. And he said some things I'm not going to repeat in private about African Americans, Lyndon Baines Johnson. And he said, we'll have them voting for us for 100 years. Now, it's interesting that when you think about this issue of abortion, the Democrats claim to be the representatives of minorities, of those that are disenfranchised, of specifically African Americans, blacks. And they say, and accurately so, we have 92-93% of their vote normally in the low to mid 90 percentile. And one time I was at a pastor's conference, it was about half Caucasian, one quarter Hispanic, one quarter black. And I stood up talking to all of them. And this is what I shared. I said, it's funny, we had Representative Brian Mast in the summer of 2000 speak at our church, and I was interviewing him. And he said, Pastor, most people in America don't know this, but after this summer, the summer of 2000, the Democrats primaried all of their pro-life candidates. No more Blue Dog Democrats. No more pro-life. And when this Congress is seated at the beginning of 2001, there cannot be a pro-life representative or senator in Washington, D.C. from the Democratic Party. Now, I want you to really think about that. I've preached all these years messages leading up to presidential elections in relationship to the biblical worldview, the issues. You heard those in the summer into the fall of 2020 on abortion, homosexuality, illegal immigration, debt, a lot of these other things that are moral issues, they're biblical issues, they're spiritual issues. And I've taken the Republican Party, the Democratic Party platform, and then Scripture and compared those things. And this is the first time in my life, the last couple of years, that I have said, and I say it right now, unashamedly, that there are millions, tens of millions of Christians who vote for Democrats every time. But I want to tell you this, you cannot be an obedient, spirit-filled Christian and vote for that agenda. You cannot. You can't vote for perversion. You can't vote for illegality. You can't vote for abortion and the death of the innocent. You can't do it. Now, here's what's interesting about that whole issue for black Americans. American blacks represent 13% of our population nationwide of our 330 to 360 million citizens. 13%. 79% of all abortion clinics are in minority neighborhoods. Google it for yourself. Look at it. The only one that denies that is the Planned Parenthood site, and they said, oh, that's a rumor, a myth. Well, of course they would say that. They lie about everything. But here it is. You've got now 62 to 64 million babies that have been killed since Roe v. Wade, 73. The laws then were based by that Supreme Court on the laws of Greece and Rome and Babylon. It was the first time in the history of our nation that a landmark decision was not based upon the history of our nation, the ruling of our jurists, the ruling of our laws, the ruling of the influence of the Judeo-Christian principles of Scripture. First time in history. They went all over the world in the most pagan societies to develop their arguments in Roe v. Wade, 73. It's interesting, the woman they used as the case for abortion is now a born-again Christian, and she says she didn't even have an abortion, and they used her for the case. Now, I've got, if they can bring this graphic up, it's interesting, the lethality of abortion. Here's a graph of all the veterans that have died in the United States in war, all the way back to our War of Independence, our Revolutionary War, Civil War, One, Two, Vietnam, Korea, the War on Terror, you name it. And we've got 657,946 deaths within our military in the history of our nation. Less than a million. And that shows how hard it is to kill people in battle when they're fortified, trained, armed, and they're fighting in conflict. It's difficult to kill people in battle. But look at the lethality of abortion since just 1973, 62 million. Each one of those blocks representing basically 660,000 or so abortions. Look at the difference in that. And this is the lethality of abortion. When you're dealing with a defenseless baby, one of the greatest things that ever came out in relationship to this issue was when Bernard Nathanson, one of the leading abortionists in the United States, owned more clinics, was getting super wealthy on the abortion industry. And he saw actually the sonogram or the video of a baby being aborted. It's referred to as the silent scream. And they taped it because they were being taught and they were telling in propaganda and falsehood, this is just tissue. This is just, you know, a part of the mother. This is no different than an appendectomy. And they showed the suction tube going into that mother's womb. And they saw that baby fighting that thing as it was ripping the baby apart. That one video has done more for pro-life. In fact, Bernard Nathanson repented and is now one of the biggest pro-life proponents, closed all his clinics. When he saw this, he said, I can't tell women this anymore. I can't lie about this anymore. And so when we look at this, we see that God says that this is a human being woven together by Him, intricately knit, wonderfully made, a miracle of God, all of them. I've got one of my grandkids that's on the spectrum, and he's the best. I mean, he's the most faithful friend and loving boy I've ever been around. And thank God for him. But there's families that might have tried to get rid of him. And we see here in Scripture, We're made in the image of God. And then we looked at God says human beings are wonderfully made. The complexity of human life in our video we saw from the Crisis Pregnancy Center, it showed the DNA chain. Each one of us have a unique one of those. And it's related to our family line somewhat, but we have our own individual. And it has in it, it's like a supercomputer chip. It's got in it everything about us, our hair color, our eye color, our height, our propensity for weight or lack thereof. It's got everything in it. It's an amazing thing, the complexity of this DNA chain. We see also that God says that human beings are skillfully made. We have, compared to the animal world, we have an opposing thumb. I love sharing this illustration when God says in Romans 1, the invisible things of God are clearly made, are clearly seen, being understood by what is made, even his eternal Godhead and power, so that they are without excuse. It's interesting, Richard Wurmbrand, the great Christian pastor who was tormented and persecuted and tortured for his faith by socialism, by the Russians, he was taken on a tour of a Russian plant, an industry plant, and while he was on the tour, he separated from the group and he was talking to a man and his wife in Russia who were working on one of the assembly plants. And as he was talking to them, both of them said, we're engineers, although here in Russia with, you know, corporate socialism, communism, we have to just work on this assembly line, even though we both have earned doctor's degrees in engineering. And so they said, you're a cleric, right? You're a religious man. He said, yes. They said, my wife and I have been talking about this, and we've noticed that the thumb and the hand is such an amazing tool that it wouldn't work without the thumb. And you can't design a tool any better than this, the way it pivots, the way it works. And of course, in science, they say this distinguishes us from the animal kingdom, an opposing thumb. And they said, where did this come from? This could not have possibly happened by itself, although we've been atheists our entire life. What happened here? And Richard Wurmbrand quickly, succinctly explained to them that God the Father designed the universe, God the Son created it, and that he came to this earth and died for them to pay for their sins. And both of them, the man and his wife, in Russia, on that assembly line, gave their heart and life to Christ. Can I hear an amen? And they responded to what they could see, just like it says in Romans, the invisible things of God are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal Godhead and power. Now, Baylor University was a Southern Baptist college. But several years ago, they dismissed one of their science teachers for teaching intelligent design. He wasn't even teaching creationism by God. He was just teaching intelligent design, and Baylor fired him. That's how far our convention fell in its liberalism years ago. But we see here this idea of the opposing thumb, bipedal motion, that we're able to stand on 2 feet and move around. Now, animals can do that a little bit. I was hunting with my son in Montana, antelope hunting, and we're walking across, dragging an antelope across the plains there, and this thing ran up in front of us that looked like an alien, and it was as tall as Josh. It was a jackrabbit standing on his hind legs and his ears stuck straight up. And he just stood there and stared at us and cocked his head back and forth. And I go, wow, this is the weirdest. I've never seen a rabbit like that. What a rabbit it was. And my son looked at me. He was carrying the rifle, and he said, can I shoot it? And I said, sure, go for it. But I remembered after he clicked it that I had unloaded it before I handed it to him. I didn't want him carrying a rifle next to me. So he did a dry click, and the thing went like this, leaned his head back, and took off on all fours, fast as lightning. He was on his legs temporarily, but jackrabbits don't walk around their whole life on their hind legs. We saw, Kim was praying to see bears when we were in Gatlinburg. We were in Crosby, Tennessee at a cabin up in the woods. And one morning I had dumped some fish remains over the balcony the night before when I'd cleaned out a cooler. And so I woke up and I looked in our asphalt driveway, and here's four bears, grown bears. And one of them, I've got the pictures on my phone, standing up on its hind legs like this. But that bear did not walk out of there like that. He stood, looked at the rest of them. He dropped down on all four, and they scooted. Kim said, "Daryl, close the door and lock it." You know, I got the screen open. I'm all pumped up out on the porch, you know. "Come in here, close that door." But we see the bipedal emotion is an aspect of our humanity. It's the way God created us. And then our reasoning capacity. Now, animals will say, "That's a smart animal." And some people used to keep the potbelly pigs instead of dogs in their house because they said pigs are smarter than dogs. And animals do have a modicum of sort of understanding, but more of it is conditioning. And they adapt to their circumstances and conditioning. I love to snook fish, and if this were a pillar under one of our bridges and the current's going this way, the snook would come down behind this pillar and swim behind it as the current sweeps by because there's less resistance. Now, that snook, although fish swim in schools, that snook did not learn at snook school. You've got to avoid the current. You've got to get behind the post because the current's going to do this. It was just an instinctive maneuver that they do, that they learned. It's harder to swim out here. It's easier to swim over here. You and I have reasoning, though. We can actually, like I analyze these snook, and now I know what they're doing because I have reasoning. That gives me an advantage, hopefully, over the fish. But we see these aspects of our humanity that God has given us. Opposing thumbs, bipedal motion, reasoning capacity. And then he's put inside of us a soul. Now, this soul is an immutable soul. It's an eternal soul. Animals have a soul in a sense. They have personalities. Different dogs have different personalities. My dad raised bull terriers, which is the Spuds McKenzie dog with the downgrade note. And those are powerful animals. In fact, they're one of the strongest dogs in the world. Two of them in India killed a Bengal tiger in a cave when they were hunting. The tiger killed one of the dogs and really injured the other, but the two of them together killed a tiger. That's a hard killing right there. But dad's dogs had different personalities. Moots loved everything and everybody. But we had, I had one of the puppies from Moots that was registered and named, we named her Hershey. Her legal name was Hershey Bar Sinister. Hershey hated every other animal in the world. Loved people, but hated all the animals of the earth. She attacked dogs every time I tried to walk her. One time she took on three German shepherds. I had to hold her up around her torso, and all four legs were doing like this. And she wouldn't bark. She would give out a demonic screeching. Yeah, 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 yeah. Like that, like, "Bring them on, I want them." And I told the guys, the little guy and his three German shepherds pulled him over to me. I said, "You better get those dogs out of here. If she gets down, she'll kill them." You know, but they have a soul like that. It's different personalities. You say, "That's a sweet dog." No, that's a mean dog. You know. So, but we have a soul, an immutable soul, an eternal soul. Now, I want to encourage you, there's several things we need to do right now. We need to pray like we've never prayed before. We need to pray for the Supreme Court. We need to pray that they would be strong and stand strong, that the pro-life, especially pray for our Chief Justice, because he's tend to go back and forth. He's one of the few conservatives on there that just has not been true blue, Judge Roberts. And pray for all of them to be strong. And pray that the Democrats do not re-engineer our Supreme Court so they can appoint some more for political purposes. If it's been good enough for 200 years, it's good enough for now. Can I hear an amen? That's the way dishonest people behave. Change the rules. If you lose, change it. If the people won't validate it, go around them. So pray for that. And we've got an election coming up this fall. Vote like crazy and be outspoken. Quit being silent. Quit being intimidated. Speak truth to everybody. Unapologetically. I was talking to a group of guys, some pastors, and they asked me, they said, what do you think of Donald Trump? And I said, it was a mixed group of pastors. I said, best president in our lifetime. And they go, oh my gosh, you know, I start getting all that. And I said, if you're a Christian, only president, including Reagan never went to go to the pro-life rallies, appointing Supreme Court justices true blue, every one of them, and on, a lawful president, a president that blessed our nation. I don't know how anyone can defend what's going on now the last year. Have they bought any gasoline at a gas pump? That's what I want to ask. If I remember it being $2 and now it's $3.25 or $3 whatever. But that's gas is not the issue. It's the morality of everything. Capitalism versus socialism. Capitalism recognizes the intrinsic value of the individual, that you have the right to own your own property, that the government shouldn't seize it from you unreasonably. In socialism, the government owns everything, and they're so nice to us to give us back some of the things we produced. We need to recognize these things and acknowledge them. And as we think about this issue, this pro-life issue, we are in the bind we're in now of killing 62 million babies as a sacrifice to racism. 1/3 of all abortions, black children, with only 13% of the population. That's genocide. And if any blacks are listening to my message today, please stand up. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Stand up. Be strong. Well, you say, boy, Pastor, that's a heavy one. And Kim and I will talk about it when we get home. Not exactly the way to build a mega church, I would say, probably. But it is a way for me to stand before God with a clear conscience and say, I declared the whole council. And you say, well, I don't agree with you. That's fine. You don't have to agree with me. I'll be glad to stand before Christ with what I'm saying. Let's see if you will. But the ultimate thing for all of us, everybody, all 8 billion of us, is we need the forgiveness of Christ. We need the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to save us and change us. He can change Bernard Nathanson. He can change Bill Murray, Madeline Murray O'Hare's son. He can change anybody. I want to ask you, if you would, to bow your heads with me and close your eyes. And with your heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I'd like to ask you, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you sure that he lives in your heart and life? Have you received his forgiveness? Now, I may be speaking to some ladies here who years ago were pressured into an abortion by either their boyfriends or husbands, their parents, their friends, and they've regretted it their whole life. And I want you to know Jesus loves you, forgives you. Just receive his grace and mercy. There may be some guys here who pressured their fiance, their girlfriend, their wife into an abortion years ago. Well, God wants to forgive you as well. He wants to extend his grace and mercy to you, but you got to receive it. And he tells us in Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth, me is your Lord, believe in your heart that God raised me from the dead, you shall be saved. And I'd like to invite you, as God is listening and looking, to just say, dear Lord, please cleanse me and forgive me and come in my life and take control of my life and be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for me. I love you, dear Lord. I'll live for you the rest of my life. I love you, Jesus. Thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to extend our invitation now and give you an opportunity to respond to God this morning as he's speaking to your heart. Maybe you want prayer. Maybe you've given your heart and life to Christ. Maybe you, like Dylan and Dakota, need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. However God's speaking to your heart this morning, you come. Let's stand together. And I want to remind you again about our 76 project, and we're still receiving, if you've got jewelry you're not wearing or broken jewelry or whatever, class rings, we'd be glad to receive those. And you can bring them by. We've still got the manger set out if you want to bring those to Christ and lay them there. And our administration gets those, photographs them, looks at them, and then we take them and have them appraised and sell them. And so I want to encourage you to take part in that. We're going to receive an offering for the Crisis Pregnancy Center at the doors on the way out, and want to encourage you to give to it and support it. It's a tremendous ministry, as Sue shared with us, 25 of them last year giving their heart, of the ladies giving their heart and life to Christ, and so many babies saved. And so you can help bless this ministry on your way out, and we want to encourage you to do that. So God bless you, and I want to encourage you to stand strong, be convictional, share your convictions, don't be intimidated. God bless you. You're dismissed.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab. And it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.